I was thinking about preaching the what I consider the deeper Bible study one, that is very it's a fascinating Bible study that goes from Daniel 11, weaves its way through some Old Testament kings and Elisha's time, ends up with Zacchaeus, and ends up with application for our time and the fears which are being perpetrated on our world. I won't give that one today. I will give a different one, but it is important that we are spending time with God and spending time in His Word. And the sermon that I'm going to give is hopefully going to be one that encourages us and invites us all and makes us so that we can't really wait to get into Jesus' Word and get with Him. And so the title of this sermon is called Making Room for Jesus. The text comes from Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. And if you want to turn there to follow along with the story, you may. And you can also find the same story in Mark 5 and in Luke 8. But before we delve into this, I would just like to kneel and ask the Lord's special blessing on His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and You bring it to us as nourishment for our spiritual life. And so we are asking that You will nourish us. Lord, we are asking for the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness. We're asking for ears to hear, and I'm asking for a voice to speak, a coal from Your altar to be able to lift up Jesus today. And to this end, Lord, we pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to bless us all. For Thy name's honor and glory, in Jesus' name, amen. So I used to like to tell this story to my daughter when she was going to bed at night. She, you know how it is, you have kids, say, "Dad, tell me a story." And sometimes I would run out of stories, and I would just share little things that would frustrate her, not intentionally to frustrate her, but, you know, Jack and Ori, you know, they, anyway, there's those types of things. But, "Dad, a Bible story." And so she always had one that was kind of specific to what she liked, and I knew which one it was. And so I would start to tell the story. I would say, you know, once upon a time, way back when Jesus was walking this earth, there was a man who had a very significant problem. And she would look at me, and I'd say, "And you know what his problem was? His daughter was very, very sick. And he says, I cannot find any way to help her. The doctors can't help her. The medical people can't help her. But people are telling me that maybe Jesus can help her. And so I think I know what I'll do. I will go find Jesus." "Well, what was his name, Dad? What was his name?" "His name was Jairus." So Jairus started off to find Jesus because his little girl was sick. And so Jairus made his way to where Jesus was, and I'm sure it was on a little bit of a hurry, because when someone's in trouble, we always want to make room for those in trouble. That's why we move over when the ambulance is coming by, when the fire trucks are going by, when the police cars are going by with their lights on. We want to make room. We want to help hurry the situation so that every spare moment can be used to help the person out of their trouble. So Jairus is in a hurry to find Jesus. He finds Jesus and he says, "Jesus, I'm wondering if you would come and lay your hands on my daughter, for she is very sick." And Jesus said, "But of course I will." And Jesus starts, but Jesus doesn't start down the road with the sirens blaring and the lights flashing. He doesn't move the traffic out of his way with blaring horns and the speedy arrival. That's not what happens next. Jesus is in the middle of a great crowd, and the people are pressing all around him, and they're tight, and it's hard to walk fast. Have you ever done high-speed walking? You know, try walking 5 miles an hour. That's pretty fast for a walk. It'll make you feel vigorous walking at 5 miles an hour.
Drill sergeant walk.
There you go. Most of us find it more comfortable to walk at 2 to 3 miles an hour. And if we're hiking a mountain with a pack on, we can maybe average a mile an hour if you're not in peak condition. Those in peak condition can still march right up the hills. But anyway, this movement of Jesus with this crowd of people was not moving in rapid fire momentum. It was slow. It was tedious, and it was cumbersome, and everybody needed some of Jesus' time. And they were moving along at such pace as would cause one to be stressed, whose daughter was very sick. And then it all came to a stop. The movement quit moving. Something had happened. Jesus had looked around and he said, "Somebody touched me." And the people around him said, "But everybody's touching you. They're all around you. How can you say somebody touched me?" "No, somebody touched me." And sure enough, there was a woman who had been sick for 12 years. And she too needed to be in Jesus' presence, but she didn't have the courage to tell people to stand aside so that her need could be addressed. She thought, "Maybe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be well." And so here she comes, sneaking through the crowd, and she makes her way closer, and finally she is just able to reach out and grab the hem of Jesus' garment, and she feels that it's all right now. It's all healed. It's all well. A surge of life, of electricity flows through her body as she is reveling in this new life. And then she hears the words, "But somebody touched me. Oh no, am I in trouble?" And she says to Jesus, "It was me." And Jesus says, "Go in faith. Your faith has made you well." At this exact moment, when the press has been so extreme that people are wondering why Jesus would even ask if someone is touching him, someone else presses through the crowd. This time, it's a messenger from Jairus' house. It's a messenger that comes and whispers in Jairus' ear, "Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your little girl just died." Now, you can imagine the range of emotions that would go through Jairus. He had been on one mission, and now all of a sudden, the itinerary has changed. Now you think, okay, I've got to think of funeral arrangements and all of these types of things. But he hears another voice, and it's Jesus. Jesus says, "Jairus, just believe. Just believe." I'm kind of glad that the crowd went a little slower that day. Because what if there had been a rush going on? What if there had been momentum and the messenger from Jairus' house had come along and said, "Don't bother Jesus anymore"? Perhaps Jairus' faith would have been just below the threshold and he would have said, "Don't worry, Jesus, don't come." Maybe he would have been there. I don't know. But because he had just witnessed the healing and the health of someone else who had been sick for 12 years, and that slow momentum had given time for one more story to happen to build his faith, he took Jesus up on his invitation and continued on with Jesus to his house. You're probably already there to Matthew chapter 9, but let me actually open my Bible there, Matthew chapter 9. Like I mentioned before, you can find the same story in Mark and you can find it in Luke. But I like the way some of the things are worded here in Matthew 9. There's actually a few more details in some of the other stories on this. Matthew 9. Verse 23. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose, and the report of this went out into all the land. So you picture Jesus coming. He finally gets to the house. The other Gospels let us know that he brought Peter, James, and John in with them. And it's interesting to me what he saw. He saw the people making a great noise. And it's interesting what he said. He said, "Make room." And then it's interesting what he did. He took the little girl by the hand. So let's just pause and think about these four things for a moment. Jesus came. Jesus came. Revelation 3:20 lets us know that Jesus didn't just come for just them at that time. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I will come in and sup with them, and they with me. I will be their God, and they will be my people." God wants to come to each of us. We each have our issues. We each have our problems. But we can just as surely come to Jesus today and ask him to come to our house and be with us as Jairus did that day. And the answer is sure, the answer is true, and it's just what Jesus did back then. Jesus came, and he will come for you and me today as well. Amen. The next thing I find interesting in this story is when he came, he saw. He saw the people making a great noise and a tumult. I find it interesting that they didn't see him. And isn't that something what happens with us? We're making such a great noise, there's such commotion going on in our lives for this or that and the other thing. We don't actually see Jesus coming. But that doesn't mean he doesn't see us. You know, they could have actually been in a position that's like, "Hey, here's Jesus. We see him coming down the road," just like the father of the prodigal son. He got up to run to them. They could have all run to Jesus. "Come, here's where the girl is," but they didn't do that. They had gotten so caught up with the trial and the trouble that they no longer thought Jesus could fix it. And when Jesus finally arrived, they laughed him to scorn. Jesus came anyway. He's coming in. The people are put outside. He sees them. He sees us. He sees the noise that surrounds us, the tumult that goes on in our lives. And I find it interesting what he said. He said to them, he said, "Make room. Make room." Wonderful things happen when we make room for Jesus. When we make room for him in our life, when we make room for him in the morning, at the beginning of the day, wonderful things happen when we make room for Jesus. You know, this wasn't the only time people had trouble with this idea of crowding and getting room with Jesus. You know, Zacchaeus also had trouble getting close to Jesus. There was a crowd of people around him. And in the King James Version, and H.M.S. Richards Sr. used to use this illustration about getting close to Jesus, Zacchaeus tried to reach him, but he could not because of the press. And you think about it, I mean, there's a couple of things we can apply to that. There's the press of the crowd, but think about how many times we are distracted from Jesus by the press. Oh, I want to get up and I want to spend time with Jesus in the morning, but I flip on my phone or flip on the device and there's the latest headline. The press is calling out with the latest imperative of information that we must know, and pretty soon we're following this rabbit trail down the road and the noise gets louder and by we don't see Jesus. Zacchaeus had a solution. It says he ran ahead of the crowd. Sometimes we have to run ahead of the crowd, the things that crowd us in, the things that get busy in our lives, the things that would distract us from Jesus. Sometimes we just have to run ahead of it. Jesus will be there to meet us, and he's there to help us make room. Indeed, he is the one that helped put the crowd out. He said, "Put them out." And then when everything was quiet, he took her by the hand. Took the little girl by the hand. And my daughter, when I'd be telling the story to her, you know, when she's 4 years old and she's laying in bed and she wants that Bible story, and I'd get to this part and he took her by the hand, I would grab her hand as I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, and he said, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And then my daughter would sit up in bed. And she'd say, "And Dad, what did they say next?" Well, it doesn't say this in Matthew 9, but in the other verses, other versions in Mark and Luke, it tells us that the next thing Jesus did, he said to the parents, "Why don't you grab her something to eat?" All right. And she always seemed to like that part of it. Get something to eat. But this idea of taking by the hand, that wasn't just for her, that's for us too. Jesus promises that way back in Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10, says, "Fear not, I am with you. Behold, I am your God. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." And three verses later, in verse 13, he says, "Do not be afraid. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." Jesus comes to us in our trouble when we call upon him. Psalms 50:15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Amen. Psalms 91:15 says, "I will be with him in trouble." There is no worry that Jesus won't see our dilemmas and our troubles and the noise that we have about us in the world. The issue is, will we see him? Let's run back to Numbers chapter 13 really quick. Numbers chapter 13. We have an interesting story of what happens when the noise gets really loud in our ears. Numbers 13. We have these spies that have been sent out into the promised land, leaders from all the tribes of Israel. And they are there for 40 days spying out the land before the children of Israel will go in. They come back, they bear a load of grapes, where the cluster of grapes is so big that two men have to carry that cluster on a stick between them. That's quite a cluster of grapes. And they come back and they're telling the report. They're telling the report. And in verse 25, they returned from spying out the land after the 40 days. And they came back and they brought word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land, verse 26. And then they talked about the land being filled with milk and honey, and it's truly a wonderful land, in verse 27. But then they started down the road of the noise. But the people are giants, and they have well-fortified cities. And pretty soon they were talking about, "We can't go and take them. The Jebusites live there, the Amalekites, the Amorites, and the mountains, and the Canaanites, and they're everywhere." And the noise and grumbling started to happen, and pretty soon they no longer saw what was wonderful. They saw all kinds of obstacles and problems. And it says here in verse 30 that Caleb tried to quiet the people. He says he quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome." But the men who were with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight." Well, it goes back and forth. Caleb and Joshua are trying to encourage them. The other people are intent on complaining and whining and not acting in faith at all. And they allow the noise to get stronger and stronger to the point where they want to stone Caleb and Joshua. And they would have. They would have actually stoned Caleb, Joshua, and Moses, and Aaron. They would have stoned them all. But it says the glory of God got up and started to move in. There's no danger that God won't see us in our troubles. The danger is, will we see him? Jesus said, "Make room." We make room for a lot of stuff in our world, right? In our house, we make room for trash. You do too. You take the trash out and put it in the dumpster so you can put more trash. Right? We make room for trash. We make room in the garage. We make room on our schedules for our favorite whatever. We make room for emergency vehicles on the road. We make room in the refrigerator. We make room for all kinds of things. But Jesus is asking us to make room for something specific. And it's Him. Make room for Jesus. The results of making room for Jesus is that He will take us by the hand and lead us into new life. That's what we need. We need new life. Our life isn't certain anymore. You know, 5 years ago, it probably seemed more certain than it does today. 22 years ago, it probably seemed even more certain because that was before 9/11. Back then, it seems like you could plan and you could execute and you could figure out things, and it seems like, you know, things could be accomplished. Nowadays, we're like, well, we don't know. We can make this plan, but 3 weeks from now, we don't know what might change it. But Jesus says it's okay because I see all this stuff in advance. I know where it's going. And I'm the victor at the end of the story. And it's going to be okay. Make room for me. And it will be okay for you too. So the challenge for you and for I is to make room for Jesus this week, this day, amen, every day, no matter what the situation is. So we're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray that we won't forget to make room, right? In fact, every time we take out the trash, maybe it's a reminder to us we're making room for the garbage. Let's make room for Jesus, all right. Right? I'm not saying you shouldn't take out the garbage. That's a good thing to do. Don't get me wrong. Someone may go home and say, I'm not taking trash out anymore. No, that's not going to happen. We want to pray for each other that we make room for Jesus, and we'll sing our closing hymn, which is At the Cross. And, you know, it's at the cross that really gives us courage, because all the people eventually that made room for Jesus, they're like, it doesn't matter if everything else is gone. Zacchaeus, half my goods I give to the poor. The disciples, their testimony was, we've left all for Jesus. Elisha in the Old Testament, the first thing he does when Elijah puts the mantle on him is he sacrifices the very implements that he's using for work to feed himself. It's all on the altar for God. When we make room for God, we're saying, you can have it all, God, because we see that He gave it all for us at the cross. And so our closing hymn is number 163, At the Cross. Martha, would you be willing to lead this for us? And then we'll have our prayer for each other. It's 163, At the Cross. Father, as we stand here this morning, we want to lift each other up to You, Lord, that we will make room for You. Lord, as this congregation prays, and I thank You for their prayers. I thank You for their prayers for the people around them. I thank You for their prayers for me. And Lord, as I pray for them, we want to lift each other up, that You will be all in all to all of us, that the times in which we live will not be wasted, that we will indeed press close to You, and You will make each moment, each day, each month meaningful for Your kingdom and Your honor and glory. So lead us forward, we pray. Out of weakness, Lord, make us strong. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Amen.